Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. We are Ryan with the King. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. As always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, how are you doing today?
I'm just absolutely sensational. Sensational.
That's great to hear. I heard you talking about some feuds you've had in the past a few minutes ago.
Yeah, those guys were talking about feuds. And then I started thinking, you know, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Yeah, I've had a few. And it's, I didn't mention them all. I started thinking about it. Man, they started coming to light. Tug McGraw was another one. Man, that was a blowout.
What'd you do to him?
Why is it always my fault?
Well, I mean, they're not going to push your buttons. You're pushing. I mean, that's our job, right? That's okay. Your job. You have an opinion, then they get upset at it.
You know what? Again, all these guys I became friendly with afterwards, which is crazy. So Tug, may he rest in peace. It was the year after the World Series, which was a bad year for everybody because that was the split, as Dallas Green would say, the splits bleeping season.
1981.
1981. So Tug, I mean, everything was great here. And appearances, all kinds. And he wasn't pitching well. And he was making a lot of appearances. And I just had an opinion that he was too concerned, because back then those things were big for those guys, all those appearances, made a lot of money. And I thought he did too many appearances and he didn't really concentrate on what he needed to do best. And that was to pitch and pitch well out of the bullpen. So he got real, real angry. And he came after me in the locker room, too. You know, these guys, tough guys. Actually, Terry Francona came in. And then they're all starting to come to mind now. Terry Francona, I just yelled at him on something stupid that he did in the locker room. They want to do it in front of people. So anyway, so he said something, and we went at it. And I just I wrote him a note that hopefully we're both here a long time. And if you want to talk about it, I'd be happy to talk. And I would say that with everybody. Jason Wirth, and we're good friends now.
Yeah, you had him on your podcast a few years ago.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I talked to him last week, and it was a big blow. It was a big blowout. But Tug, so anyway, so then I wrote him a note, and he realized that, you know, we could talk it out. And he hired a company called the Singing Banana Telegram Company.
That sounds made up.
No, it's legit. It was a legit company.
What a great name for a company.
Yeah, and so it was like a Hawaiian or, I want to get the right ethnicity right, but she came in all dressed up, and she sang, "Oh, Howard, oh, we love you," you know, whatever. So, but he hired her. They knew when I came in the locker room before a game. And at the end of the song, she took some banana cream pies and took them to my face. And at that time, I was still wearing the sport coat or a suit. I always did that. And it was all over me. And it kind of broke the ice. And then we talked about it afterwards. So that's how he broke the ice.
What year are we talking here? Was this 80, the
81.
Early 80s?
Yeah, 81. It was 81. It was the year after the World Series.
You know what we should do when this pandemic is over, Howard? We should have fans line up and throw banana cream pies in your face. We'll raise money for charity.
Well, and then Terry Francona did some drill. And I ripped him on the air for this stupid drill, left field. It was stupid.
I mean, you ripped the future Hall of Famer, Howard. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day.
Who, Terry Francona?
Yeah.
Wow, I know. It's just, but we.
Well, he turned into a great manager when he left.
Yeah, well, he was always a good guy.
Yeah.
So, and we're friendly now too. I could send him a text; he would get right back to me. In the middle of the locker room, now it comes up. Jose Mesa came after me. Now I'm thinking about them all.
What'd you do to Jose Mesa?
Okay, well, Terry Francona, I ripped him, and I says, you don't have a bleep an idea what the hell you're doing as a manager. I said that to him right in the middle of the locker room. Oh, man.
I think you should introduce him before his speech in Cooperstown and tell everyone that story.
Yeah.
I didn't think this guy had any idea what he was doing.
Yeah, so that was it. And then Jose Mesa, he gives up a home run. And then you know how guys used to, then the next guy they hit, right?
Oh, they drill him in the back. Yeah, they're big babies pitchers sometimes.
Right, yeah. So then I ripped him. I ripped him for that. I called him a wimp on the air. So when they cornered me, as there was a tunnel that came from the locker room at the vet down to the dugout. And then he cornered me as I was walking down to the dugout from the locker room, and he started going off on me. I says, I'll call you now what I wanted to call you on the air, but I couldn't call you that on the air. And it was another word for wimp. I says, that is a joke. Who are you? You hit a guy. He didn't give up the home run. You gave up the home run. You're a disgrace. I said, you're a joke. I really went into him. And then Randy Wolf came down. And we talk about it now, too. He joined in the fray. Because every once in a while, and I'm friendly with Randy and friendly with his brother, who's an umpire.
Is it Doug Wolf is his brother? What's his brother's name?
Jim Wolf. I don't get to see the umpires anymore, but I always make a point to say hello to him. But I could always, matter of fact, I might text him after tonight just to say hi. So Randy Wolf joined in. He didn't do anything, but Jose Mesa went off. And I would not back down from these guys. Now, I expected one time I might have gotten drilled, but... it is what it is. There's a lot more. I'm sure there's a lot more. They'll all start coming to mind. Andre Waters, may he rest in peace, because I would rip the Eagles because they sucked. When they sucked, I would rip them. So he came after me in the locker room. It didn't matter to me. The thing that I never wanted to do is if I ripped the guy on the air, I always went to the games and went to the locker rooms and did everything anyway. But I never wanted to not show up the next day after I ripped the guy, because I wanted to let him get it off his chest if he wanted to come after me. I had to do that, because then they would be angry when you never showed up. So, I always did that. Marion Campbell, I said he should have been fired, and I went to his news conference the next day.
How do you feel about that? Not great, I'm sure.
Well, he was such a nice guy. He says, why did you say that? I says, Marion, I says, these guys in the locker room, you're losing them. They're all talking about how bad a head coach you are. I said, I'm sorry. I'm just reporting what's happening there. Jim Fregosi. Now, another one comes to mind, was the biggest blowout. I don't know if it was the biggest. It was a big one. I don't even know if I can say what he said using other words. He ripped one time, and the writers told me about it. They had two sessions, one with the writers and one with the media before the game. And he ripped the people from WIP, and he ripped the listeners.
Oh, I've read those quotes before. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he ripped both of them.
And so it was over the top, too. It wasn't just like, it was over the top.
Way over the top. Stuff like today, you can't even, I wouldn't even use words to replace the words that he used. Back then, I used certain kind of words that replaced the words. Now I wouldn't even do it. I called the next morning. It was either the morning show or the midday show on the way to working out. And I come out of the workout and all hell is breaking loose. The Phillies have a news conference. People are irate. So I went down there and he wouldn't answer my questions after that at news conferences. He wouldn't answer a lot of questions anyway, but he wouldn't answer my questions. This went on for like two months. So I sent him a flower arrangement with an olive branch. after a while because the Phillies were getting buried. And the Phillies hated Jim Fregosi. And not the Phillies, the fans despised Jim Fregosi. So they were getting killed. So the Phillies finally, I said, I'll talk to him whenever you want. Whoever you want in there, I'd be happy to talk to him. And they finally called me to come down. He says, I think it's time that you and Jim Fregosi got together and talked this out. So I went in his office. We were in there for 45 minutes. 45 minutes. They thought I was going to come out limping with blood all over me. The writers were waiting outside to see what happened. And I told him how disgraceful he was to the writers, who he wouldn't answer questions. And then he called one of the writers a name because he didn't like him.
Seems like a pleasant guy.
Oh, yeah. He was just we stared at each other after that. May he rest in peace, too. But because he was so despicable, he undermined. Well, it started when he tried to get Nick Leyva's job. And I reported that in spring training. And he went off then. And it's exactly what he was trying to do.
So what was he on his staff? He was like the bench coach?
He was, I think he was, no, he was a scout.
Okay, so but he wanted the manager gig.
He wanted the manager's job. And sure enough, 16 games into the season, he got it. So my story was absolutely right. I came in the next day to spring training. He went off on me there. So there was a bunch of different times. But I guess the last straw was when I talked about what he said about the people from WIP and the listeners at WIP. So we came out and it was okay after that. It was just okay. It wasn't like we were friends or he liked me or I liked him. He was a terrible manager. But so I would rip him. Nobody liked Jim Fregosi. I mean, I guess I could run down the list. I could be here for 5 hours.
I know. We got to carve out more time. We got to pick the best ones. And we'll get those. All right, 215-592-9494. Howard, let me throw this at you. We got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, we do.
Beyond Jim Fregosi and your feuds, but let me just ask you, because you know you've been covering the Eagles for a long time. You've covered the Eagles and been around this the entire tenure of Jeff Fleury, and it's been a good tenure. The Eagles have been a good team with him as the owner. But more and more stories, Howard, have come out the last, I'd say, 5 years of his involvement. And yesterday, we got the Chris Mortensen report that Jeff Fleury has kind of told his people, let's build around Jalen Hurts. And Howard, he's the owner. He could do whatever he wants. But, you know, we see this in football. When the owner is the one making decisions, football decisions, it often doesn't work out great. Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder. And I never thought of Fleury back in the day as that hands-on. Do you think something has changed here? Is this being overblown? What's your feeling on Lurie? Because I don't want him being the one that makes quarterback decisions like, you know, this has to be the guy.
Well, I'm going to preface it by saying I talked to Chris Long today, and I'm going to have him on the show on Saturday, and he's going to talk about it. And he's going to talk about Carson Wentz and all that, and he's going to talk about Jalen Hurts. He's going to talk about a lot of things. And he likes Jeff. He liked Jeff Fleury, and he thought he was a terrific owner. And he says, "I know there had to be times when he got involved." Now, here's what I will say: he likes to have his voice heard the way I understand it. And Howie Roseman, you know, I don't know if you would say encourages him, but it's part of it. I don't think he was okay with the draft pick of Jalen Hurts. But he didn't make that decision. He was okay with the draft pick of Jalen Reagor, but he didn't make that decision. Now, from what I understand, he had a lot more input in the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pick. Now, as far as the quarterback and build around Jalen Hurts, listen, these guys made a humongous mistake the way they're looking at it, and that's why they traded Carson Wentz. They made a mistake. The pick was fine at the time, but to give him that contract and then trade him a year later is obviously a mistake. So if you're the owner, and this is the way I look at this two different ways, and I'm not here to defend Jeff Fleury or not defend him. He wants to make sure this works because they're not taking a quarterback with the sixth pick. Now, they might take somebody later in the draft just to have a quarterback on the another quarterback who can develop on the roster and maybe be on the practice squad. They'll take another one, but they are not taking a quarterback at six. So you got to make sure that Jalen Hurts makes it. So I have no problem with him telling his staff, and again, we overblow a lot of things. Well, he told his staff he wants to make sure that Jalen Hurts, do everything you can to make sure it works for him. Well, wouldn't you do that anyway? Wouldn't you try to get your quarterback the weapons he needs anyway? So, not that I don't think he's, I mean, I think it's pretty easy at six. You're not going to go wrong with a pick at six, especially if you take Pitts, who I was on that Zoom call with Daniel Jeremiah today.
Jeremiah loves him.
He loves him. And that's the guy, if he's there, he would take him. And then Jamar Chase, he would take if Pitts wasn't there. So you're going to get offensive weapons for Jalen Hurts. So what's wrong with saying, hey, listen, we got to make sure that we build around him. This is our quarterback, because next year I don't think it's a really good quarterback class, not the way it stands right now. So what's wrong? What's wrong with saying, hey, listen, let's make sure that we do everything we can to help him be successful?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, Howard, as long as it's coming from the right place. Like, my fear is, and I hope this is not true, but my fear is, do all the coaches feel the same way? Are they all in on Jalen Hurts, or is Lurie the one that's in on Jalen Hurts, and everyone's like, all right, well, the boss says we got to do this, That would worry me.
Well, are they all in on Jalen Hurts? I don't think some of the former coaches weren't all in on Jalen Hurts. And I don't know if you look at, again, you're looking at four games.
Right.
Two were good, and two were just so-so at best. So you don't know. And there certainly is questions, not about his physical ability, because we know he's got tremendous ability, he's got a strong arm. But, you know, you got to do more than that. You got to make sure that you get to read your progressions and get down there. And you just can't run all the time. Number one, you're going to get hurt. And number two, that's not the way you win. I think he's got to get better there. But there's certain people that have questions. But what else do you have? You're not taking a quarterback at six. You are not.
Well, they could. I'm not advocating they should, but that's an option. They have a sixth pick in the draft.
Then it's a waste. Then it's a waste, because he would just be learning, and you could get somebody that could really help this team for years down the road. And quarterback, as we have found out, first guys taken in the first round, more of them don't make it. Then make it. Think about all the guys.
About
the few guys that were number one picks that are from, let's say, 2003 or 2004, and quarterbacks last a long time, that were number one picks that are still that were top 10 picks, or even in the first round. 22 of them from 2009 to 2016 aren't even with the same teams.
Yeah, I mean,
anymore.
A lot of washouts. And the last one was Carson, and now obviously he's gone too. Now, you're right. There's a lot of washouts, and it's not an exact science. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Maybe we'll talk some more Howard Eskin feuds. And we got to talk about what you said there about Pitts and what Jeremiah said, the pick that could be at six. And we'll touch on the Dak Prescott contract, what all this means for the NFCs. That's coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 625 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. We're riding with the King here. Howard Eskin, as always, brought to you by Xfinity, Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. So it sounds like the Eagles will move forward here. Howard, with Jalen Hurts, sixth pick in the draft. And I heard, I mean, I know you were on that Zoom call today with Daniel Jeremiah, but it does feel like more momentum is just like Kyle Pitts is the guy everyone is talking about right now.
Yeah, he must really be good.
He's a local kid. Local kid, too.
Yeah. Yeah, where did he go to school here?
Archbishop Wood.
Oh, okay. He's not really a wide receiver, although as a tight end, he's athletic like a wide receiver. Later in the call, somebody asked him if he could play wide receiver if he had to go there. And he said, yes, but that's not where you really want him, because he can do so many things as a tight end. But he gushed over him. Now, what it sounds like, if he's that good, that he won't last. But everybody wants to take a quarterback. So when you're right, go right down the list. The first two picks will be quarterbacks.
Definitely.
And I think the Jets are going to end up taking Wilson and then trade Darnold. You might as well. Why are you going to pass on a guy who some people think might be the best quarterback in the draft?
Yeah, and plus it restarts the clock. Like, in a year, they'd have to pay Darnold. And if you get Wilson, you have 4 years where he's cheap.
Okay, so the third pick is Miami. So they could take a wide receiver, because I don't know that they'll take a quarterback. If Wilson's gone, and he'll be gone one way or the other, I don't know that they take a quarterback, although Daniel Jeremiah thinks that Tua's still going to be a good quarterback. I think he's a stiff, but that's me. So maybe Chase will be gone. At four, that's Atlanta, right?
Yeah, who still has Matt Ryan, but they could take the next quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, right. They're going to need another quarterback.
Or they could trade out. Like if someone wants to come up, like a Carolina, they could go to four. Like so
right.
Atlanta could trade out.
But they're still going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, right. A quarterback probably goes at four.
Okay, so now at five. Is Pitts at – who's the team at five?
It's Cincinnati. I would think they take the offensive lineman to protect Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but is there an offensive lineman good enough? Sometimes you can't take a position if he's not as good a player because you're always going to be able to use players if their player's really good. The Eagles could get a break if they go the other direction because there's so many quarterbacks. Remember the guy from South Dakota State?
No, North Dakota State. The next Carson State. Wentz, Trey
yeah.
Lance.
Yeah, Trey. So people talk about how good he is, even though he didn't. Did they play it all this year?
One game in the fall.
Yeah.
One.
So could he go back in the draft? Yeah, but he probably won't be taken as high if he goes back in the draft. Who knows? Although he could be taken one, but do you want to risk that? This year, I remember Matt Barkley would have been a top five.
And then hurt his shoulder.
He stayed in, and then he didn't go to the fourth round. It ended up the Eagles took him in the fourth round. They actually traded up in the fourth round to get him. Kansas City wanted him, and they traded ahead of Kansas City.
Yeah, and he mostly has just been a backup quarterback.
Right. He's still around now. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. He's still around. So there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken, which could, if Chase and Pitts are gone, I don't know what they would do.
Well, they could trade down if that's the case.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, one thing I don't like that Jalen Hurts is pushing for Waddle. You know, I don't want to hear a second-year quarterback pushing for players.
You mean the Adam Schefter thing when he was on his podcast yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, Schefter asked him. We could play it. We'll play it before this hour's over. He asked him who he thinks is going to be the best player that he played with in college in the pros. So that was his answer. And then Schefter,
didn't he say he would like to have him?
Well, so Schefter said. So Schefter kind of put words in his mouth and was like, you're saying you wouldn't mind if the Eagles take him? And he kind of laughed and said, you're going to get me in trouble here. So I didn't take it he was really pushing for it. But he does obviously think he can play. I mean, he said he thinks he's the best guy he played with.
Yeah,
so he likes him.
And Daniel Jeremiah likes him too, but he likes the other guys better. So would they take? You can't take Waddle at six.
No, well, if you trade down though, you can trade to 10 or 12 or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know where you're gonna go.
So it would be interesting. And Detroit needs a wide receiver because they didn't. They didn't
Galladay.
Franchise a guy yet.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. So well, that's a good point. So, but like, it's gonna be interesting. But the Pitts thing just it keeps coming up here. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. Warren is in Cherry Hill. Hey, Warren.
Evening, boys. I got to tell you, I'm fully agreed. I understand where the Eagles are coming from as long as they keep it in-house. What I got to ask is, to me, this is Markelle Fultz all over to a certain degree. If you know there's teams behind you, and this year there are, listen, they might not be as good, but they're talking like four quarterbacks might go in the top 10. Why would the Eagles say we're not taking one when whether it's San Francisco or whether it's Detroit? If you tell me that we don't say that, and right before they do it, Danny Ainge goes, listen, we might like a quarterback. And you get a team to move you down 3 to 4 picks to get another pick. I think it's, excuse my mouth, asinine to give your hand away.
I don't care
if we don't want a quarterback.
Can you slow down here for a second?
I'm not going to give that away to a team that needs a quarterback, whether it's Detroit. Frisco's not happy with Garoppolo. These are teams that might say, you know, it's like we did with Wentz. There are teams that might sit there and go, all right, we'll give you a second so we can move up 3-4 spots.
Well, hold it.
It is the most important position.
Can you slow down for a second?
I put Warren on hold. He needs a breath.
First of all, the Eagles haven't said anything. So don't take may have heard or what other people hear about what they're going to do. They have said nothing. So he's indicting the Eagles for why would you tell somebody? Well, they haven't said anything.
But how does that stuff leak out? And Howard, I understand what you're saying. They haven't said it, but it doesn't do them any good if this is the perception. If the perception is they're locked in on Hurts, he's got a point. Like, how does that help them in a trade scenario? If people think they might go quarterback,
well, who's leaking out?
Well, I don't know.
Could it be ex-coaches? See, you remember, they got rid of a lot of coaches.
Yeah, but how would the ex-coaches who haven't been here for a few weeks or months know what they're thinking right now?
They probably know what... Well, they could know. I don't know. They probably know anything. They could know what Jeffrey Lurie was thinking, and they could still speak to some coaches, no coaches, to people that are still here. So the Eagles haven't said anything. And if whatever they say, according to Warren, they would be indicted. Well, you say, well, why would you tell him that you're looking at a quarterback? Well, you know, why would you tell him anything? I mean, they're going to scout people. The difference is now that the only times they're going to be together is at, I guess, their pro days, whatever pro days that these players have. And maybe they'll talk to other people about who they like. But at six, you're pretty well locked in to what you're going to take. There's only a few. There's only a few options. If so and so's there, and I'm sure they're going to do as they get closer and they have more workouts, they're going to do all their mock drafts, and they're probably going to know who's going to be there at six.
So you don't think it's a big deal that people might know their plan? I mean, I wish it didn't come out, but I get Warren. Go ahead, you're back up, man. What's up, Warren?
As I said, it doesn't matter if we hear it here. It wasn't like the whole country knew Markelle Fultz or Tatum. I'm just, and I agree, but if we're hearing it here, guys, it's not like they don't have their ears to the radio or to the news, whether Schefter says something or not. I'm just saying, why show your hand if you don't have to? And honestly, I don't care if it's only, you know, something local around here. You just mentioned that kid Waddle. He'll probably be there at 10, 11. If you can get Waddle by moving down, getting another pick, as I said, the Eagles, to me, are no more than 5 weeks.
They haven't said anything.
I don't know that Jalen Hurts is the answer.
They haven't said anything.
It's all speculation and reports. Speculation and reports. But it's obviously someone over there is saying something. Or what Howard said, Warren, might be it. Maybe it's coming from a coach who's not here anymore. I mean, that's fair. I mean, maybe someone knows something that already got fired or walked out the door.
Anybody smart can put that out.
All right. How about this then? I'm going to play your little game here. All right. So Carolina needs a quarterback,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right. So the Eagles are not taking a quarterback yet. Carolina says, well, we don't have to trade ahead of the Eagles and give up more picks because the Eagles aren't taking a quarterback. How do you know that they couldn't be rope-a-doping them?
There's
to
more
not
than
move
one
up
team.
In front
doesn't
of them.
Have to be Carolina. I'm not arguing.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm just playing the devil's advocate with you.
Oh, no, I understand. You. I'm just saying there is no sense. And believe me, I'm not – I don't really have connections. I don't know from anything. But just like the year with,
so
this,
much nonsense.
With the Sixers, nobody thought anything of it. The Sixers blew up by making it known. And I'm not saying the Eagles are advertising it. But
make anything
even if it's
well,
smoke,
yeah, they're telling. Yeah, the Sixers telegraphed. I mean, this is the opposite because we don't know what the Eagles want. We maybe know, and Warren, we appreciate it.
Danny Ainge rope-a-doped them.
Well, he did. We maybe know what the Eagles don't want or don't need as a quarterback. Howard, the other thing I thought yesterday when I heard this was maybe this is the Eagles' way of putting the for sale sign up. If one of those quarterbacks is sitting there at six and the Eagles do plan to go with Jalen Hurts, I mean, this is a way to say to, hey, Carolina, hey, Denver, hey, San Francisco, if you want a quarterback, give us a call.
Yeah, so, I mean, so what's the problem? You know, all this draft stuff, there's going to be, we're not even a month away yet, right? It's the end of April.
April 29th, yep.
Okay, it's the end of April, which, by the way, is my birthday.
That's a big day.
I know. It's
NFL draft, Howard's birthday.
I know, it's all great. but
what do you want for your birthday? Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, we want.
I'll put in my request. I'll see if the Eagles will buy. I'll take, after hearing Daniel Jeremiah today, I want Pitts.
Man. Well, he tweeted last night that if you were to ask people, scouts, I think, if one player from this draft makes the Hall of Fame, he thinks most people would guess Pitts. Like, that's pretty high praise. I mean, the quarterback that goes number one, you would think would have the best odds of being a Hall of Fame kind of player, but he said it's Pitts.
Yeah, well, the quarterback is under extreme pressure,
sure,
and you're going with a bad team. You know, a receiver can be successful with a bad team because you're just going to catch passes. A quarterback with a bad team, you know, that's probably hurt a lot of quarterbacks.
I'm sure it has.
Probably hurt a lot of quarterbacks with bad teams. So, yeah, you're going to hear a lot of things before the draft. You're going to hear a lot. We're over a month away. We're 5 weeks away.
Yeah,
over
it's
5 weeks
silly
season.
Away. Plus, we have the start of the league year next week. We have free agency, which will change a lot of things. All right, Howard, before we go any further, we'll get to the Dak thing in a little bit, but I gotta bring this to. So someone, I got a text here from someone you know about to add to one of your stories, the Jose Mesa story. So I got a text from John Brazier from the Phillies.
Yes.
He wants me to tell you, he said, tell Howard, this is the text, tell Howard that I brought John Oates from Hall & Oates to meet the players after batting practice one day. There was only one player in the locker room. And while I was wondering why nobody else was in the clubhouse, Jose Mesa came running up from the tunnel into the clubhouse and said to the player, let's go, we got Eskin in the tunnel. And then John Oates turned to him and said, who is Eskin?
Well, now he knows. Now he knows why.
He's the guy Jose Mesa was trying to chase down in the tunnel, is who you are.
You know what? I was there. If you want me, hey, I'm right here. You want me, you got me. And I always treated it that way. You know, and I never got my ass kicked, so.
Not yet. Not yet. So far, so good.
Right. But it's all good. Who knows? Maybe Joel Embiid will do it. I don't. But Joel Embiid's actually a good guy. I have my opinions. That's all.
Well, unfortunately, with Joel, by the way, we won't get to watch him play.
Out.
Yeah, they have to stay out. It's 7 days, so one game for Joel, two for Ben.
Now Ben Simmons is only a two-time All-Star, right?
Oh, you're not counting this one now?
No, I'm not. Think about this, Joe. You watched, well, I only watched 2 minutes of the game, but I saw enough because I knew the whole game was like that because I saw highlights.
Yeah.
Everybody is shooting like 30-footers and beyond.
Or dunks. That's it. 30-footers
or dunks. Yeah. Think about Ben Simmons in that game. He would be so out of place because all they want to do, you know, they let everybody go to the basket. To see a guy drive to the basket, that's not even fun to watch because nobody defends you. He would have been so out of place in that game, it would have been a joke. It would have been a joke. I don't count that as an All-Star game. So a two-time All-Star.
Wow, Ben lost an All-Star appearance. You heard it here first.
Because he needed a haircut. Really, do you need a haircut?
Well, they got to look good on TV, Howard.
Stop.
That's what it's about. Everyone's got to look good. It's the All-Star game. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Maybe another Howard feud we'll get into. And Dak Prescott signs a 4-year, $160 million deal. What is Howard thinking? What do we think it means for the NFC East? Is the Cowboys now have an expensive quarterback coming off injury? We'll discuss. 215-592-9494 and Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. We're riding with the King, as always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, last night the deal went down. Dak Prescott finally got his contract with the Cowboys. 4 years, $160 million, but $125 guaranteed. Obviously one of the biggest contracts ever. So they don't franchise him again. They're keeping Dak long-term. Howard, here's my feeling. Obviously the Cowboys, I would say on paper right now, are the clear favorite in the NFCs because they have Dak back. You know, he's the best quarterback in this division in the moment. But at some point, that contract's going to hurt them because I think he's a good quarterback. I've always thought, I think he's a little better than you think he is, but $40 million a year for a quarterback, that's a lot, and that means other guys aren't going to be able to be paid.
I think it's great for the Eagles and for some of the reasons that you just mentioned. Number one, it puts pressure on them. They're not going to – they better draft well, like all teams need to draft well. It just, the more I think about quarterbacks making a lot of money, teams that sign quarterbacks to big contracts, they might get there early in the contract, but they don't get there during the heart of the contract because there's just not enough money for other people. And then you got to get pieces to help the guy out. I just think, other than Tom Brady, I'm thinking,
and
about
he never took the biggest money. I don't know if they were doing funny
business.
He got
it with his massage guy. He got his money, but
funny business up in New England. But he was never, you know, like some guys were making 25, 30. He was always making 15. He was never top of the league, even though he's the best quarterback.
Well, I think they pushed it down too because Belichick said, you know, they played for the time that they had, and that's why last year they were so strapped with the cap. So they pushed. He got his money, but he didn't get it. In those years, he found ways around it. But think about, okay, so let's say Tom Brady's one of them. Ben Roethlisberger, but after his early years, it wasn't the same kind of money.
Same thing, similar right now. Russell Wilson is similar. He was young. He won.
And then afterwards, when they started making the big money within that team, they didn't have enough to keep players. It's not get players. It's keep your players.
Aaron Rodgers, he won when he was young. He hasn't won a championship since.
So think about that. It's not a good thing. It's amazing. You pay the quarterbacks all that money because you can't let them go because you feel you need them. But then it doesn't work out for you. I think it's a good thing for the Eagles and anybody else in the division. I'm not saying the Eagles are going to win the division, but down the road, I think it's better for the Eagles and the other teams in the division. And the team that I worry about more is Washington. If they ever get a quarterback, boy, their defense is so good, and they have a really good coach. And the thing that Dallas has, they're still the Eagles fans are still lucky enough to have Mike McCarthy as their coach, and still lucky enough to have Jerry Jones, so as the guy that does everything, and he tells the coach what to do. I'm not saying some of that doesn't happen here, but I know. Mike McCarthy's never won. He won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. It's a joke. That's a joke. Aaron Rodgers is one of the three best quarterbacks in football every year.
Incredible. Yeah, he's an incredible quarterback.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a good thing. But they have to sign him. And everybody's all excited. And ESPN, the talking numbskulls on ESPN are so excited.
They were stuck, right? But they had no choice. I mean, what are they going to do? Let him walk away? Obviously not.
Yeah. You're better off getting lucky with a younger quarterback and at least having those years before you have to pay him. And I just started, I think we all started to realize it. You know, teams with big money quarterbacks just don't win.
I forget who said this once, but I think it was when Russell Wilson signed his deal. Someone said something to the effect of, like, if you give a quarterback $35 or $40 million, basically you're trading away or you're losing the ability to keep four or five good players. I mean, a good player makes what, $7 or $8 million a year, you know, on the cap. Like that's basically like losing four or five really good players. So that quarterback better be able to make up for that. That's hard.
Yeah, it's not going out and signing the free agents.
It's losing
the players to free agency, and that is a problem.
Well, let me read you this, Howard. So I'm looking at a list here. This is since 2010, the percentage of the cap the Super Bowl winning quarterback took up, right? So let's pretend the cap is $200 million next year. Let's go off of that. So, you know, if you're taking up 10%, you'd make $20 million. If you're taking up, guys like Dak are going to make $40 million. That's a fifth of the cap. That's a crazy amount. So here's the percentages. Patrick Mahomes last year took up 2.4%. Brady before that, 12.4%. Nick Foles, 1%. Tom Brady, 8.9%. Peyton, 12%. Brady, 11%. Russell Wilson, 0.6%. Flacco, 6%. Eli, 11%. So we're talking about, you know, Howard, you know, basically the most was 11 or 12%. You know, if you're taking up 20 or 25% of the cap, your team can't win a championship.
Yeah, they were those teams that won with the quarterbacks that were paid higher, like
Peyton. Manning,
Peyton won with Denver. That was a joke.
Sure.
That wasn't his Super Bowl. The defense, they told him not to pass the second half, and Manning won with his defense. So Eli won with, you know, he's a fraud. I can't believe, you know, people. If he wasn't in New York, they wouldn't even mention Hall of Fame with his name. But you know, that's just the way it is. You're lucky where you play. But no, it's hard when the quarterback makes that kind of money for the team to be good enough to win in the areas you need to win in. And I just started realizing it because the money's gotten so outrageous and so ridiculous. It's like, well, I have to beat this guy, and how much money can you spend? So, but I got to make more than this guy. Why? I like the way Dak says, well, I always wanted to play for the Cowboys. Well, then why didn't you sign last year if you always wanted to play
for
the Cowboys?
Yeah, he wanted to play for the Cowboys. I'm making $40 million a season.
Yeah,
and now he's going to make it. So good for him. But I think the other part of it, Howard, is he's good, but we haven't watched him play off the injury. Now, if he loses anything, that contract could be really bad. I mean, really bad.
I don't understand. I mean, were they that boxed in? They had to do it. You know, they got the years they wanted out of him. because, you know, that's a, they wanted a five-year contract last year. Well, they ended up getting 5 years anyway.
Yeah, Dak won. I mean, obviously, Dak won the negotiation. He beat Jerry Jones. Him and the agent beat Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but the Cowboys wanted him for 5 years, and they got him for 5 years.
Yeah, they did. All right, Howard, let me throw one more thing at you before our end. So there was some rumors over the weekend. A Zach Ertz trade could be close. And then, interesting one yesterday, Albert Breer of a Monday Morning Quarterback said Brandon Brooks' name has come up here. I mean, I'm sure Howie will answer the phone on anything and anyone. Yeah. That's what he does, especially in a rebuilding kind of year. But the Brooks one was surprising, and the Ertz one, I just wonder what they could get for him. If they can get a fourth-round pick, I would take it right now.
Well, they're not going to get a fourth-round pick for Ertz. I like Zach Ertz, but he's coming off of two injuries.
Yeah, I know. And he didn't play well last year.
No, and it just – he's still – he's a great – great guy to have in a locker room, and he's got those leadership skills, but you still got to produce on the field. But you don't give up a fourth round pick. If they got a fifth round pick, I think they're doing a hell of a job. Depending on, I don't know if you can use numbers or you have to use percentage of offensive plays to make that a fourth round pick. I would be surprised if they got a fourth round pick for Zach Ertz, but they have to move on from these players. I can't believe with the offensive line the way it is that Brooks would be. And what would you get? You would get more for him.
Yeah, I think.
But
so.
He's coming off of two injuries.
But he is a freak of an athlete. Like you see some of those videos and pictures. He's a different
great player.
Yeah, he is a great player.
Why would you trade unless you can get something really good?
Or maybe
they put everybody else.
Yeah, maybe they think some of these young linemen are better than we do because they had to play a lot of those kids last year. Maybe they think some of them are ready to play for real.
Well, they're not Brandon Brooks.
Well, no, they're not, of course. But they could get something for Brandon Brooks and plug in. I don't know, Herbig, whoever they like.
Well, before the draft, you're going to hear about a lot. We're going to hear so much. It's going to be out there. It's going to be a social media festival of rumors. And it just and then people are going to report them like they're fact. And who calls up who? Here, if a team mentions who generated the interest, did the Eagles call or did another team call? Now, if the Eagles called and say, well, so-and-so talked to the Eagles about, but did the Eagles generate that? In most cases, it's usually the team trying to drum up interest by putting his name out. And I don't think Brooks is looking for a contract, so I don't know why the agent would benefit with that. But the agents put out stuff, too. And the agents use the media. It is a free-for-all. It is a free-for-all with the media. There'll probably be no less than 50 good rumors before the draft.
Oh, that sounds good for WIP. We'll talk about all of them.
Oh, my gosh. It'll be great. It'll be great. So it'll be good for – well, it's good to talk about them, but you got to kind of sift through what's real and what's not.
Yeah, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. All right, Howard, I'll talk to you on Thursday night.
Thursday night, and no Ben Simmons and no Embiid.
No, we will we'll talk some Sixers, though, as the second half starts, and we'll do some Phillies on Thursday. Howard, always fun. I'll talk to you Thursday.
All right. Take care. Stay safe, everybody. You guys, too.
Howard Eskin there. 215-592-9494. Let's say hop in. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.